Hello, party people, and welcome to another episode of Cast Party, the official podcast of Shay's Performing Arts Center. My name is Rita Siriani, and with me today, I have my co-party host, Juliana Tracy.
Woohoo! Hello!
And Ken Lazuski.
Hello, everyone!
And today, we are recording on a Friday, so happy Friday, co-workers.
Sunny Friday. Happy Friday, yes.
One
week from the gala. One week removed from the gala, which I can't even believe.
Guys, congratulations on the gala. It was really beautiful.
I'm clapping. Thank Cassandra's you. In the room, too, yeah, produces the episodes. And Juliana's one of the co-hosts, obviously, in there.
Flowers to Juliana and Cassandra. They made a beautiful night happen. We had a special appearance by Stephanie J. Block, who is Broadway royalty. Yes. And let me tell you, the queen delivered.
Oh, my God. Did she deliver? I'm like a huge Stephanie J. Block fangirl. Like, my audition cut is from one of her like shows that she starred in. So just to see her in person and to like, I got to like walk her around Shays and
you did.
Around. So just to hear her talking and like listen to what she has to say and watch her sound check was incredible. Just so cool. Nicest person ever. Yeah. Stephanie, if you're listening to this, hi.
Stephanie has a podcast, too.
She does.
To plug really Stephanie's great. Podcast.
Stages.
Stages.
It's really great.
So go check that out. Check out Stephanie J. Block. And kudos to development. You guys ran a hell of a show.
And if you're listening to the podcast and came to the gala or bid on an item, thank you. It was a highly, highly successful event for Shays. And it was just a great night for the whole place.
It really was. It was lovely.
It honestly was a part of a giant, like, theater weekend for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had the gala on the Friday. So it's actually a week since the gala, like, to the date.
Wow.
The gala on the Friday. And then on Saturday, I went and saw... I have to mention him every single time on
Vinny!
This podcast.
Vinny
Murphy.
Lead sponsor, Vinny.
He's starring... Oh, he's not... You know...
Heavenly
he's starring in Crazy for You at the Lancaster Opera, along with a bunch of other friends. I literally knew the whole entire cast,
that's
minus
fun.
Five people.
Yeah.
So they're all stars on that stage. I saw them on Saturday night, the next day. And then on Sunday was the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
The national holiday for me. So a bunch of us got together and watched it. And I have thoughts and opinions, and we'll get to those in a second. But then on Monday was the Artie Awards, which is the awards for recognizing theater in Buffalo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That was a very... theater wow. weekend. Holy moly.
Yeah. Chock full, my friends.
Jeez.
I mean, that's a love. I mean, one of the nice things about Buffalo and the theater community is it always seems like there's something to do. There's someone to see. And that's the nice part about the Arties is we get to celebrate that.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to watch the Tonys this year the way I wanted to. But I did stay up quite late watching all of the performances, so I have some opinions, too.
Wow.
The first one being, need to go see Maybe Happy Ending.
Yes.
Right it's away. Darren Criss.
Like,
Criss?
Expeditiously.
Chris?
Darren Criss?
Oh
from
let's
Glee.
Let's take a trip. Let's
Glee.
Go. We should all go.
Yes, let's go.
Of
honestly.
Glee fame. What was the school that he was in Glee? Like, wasn't he the rival?
Warblers. Warblers.
Yeah, same with that other guy who's really good. From Hamilton, Jonathan
Groff. No, he was a part of Vocal Adrenaline.
But yeah. I thought he was on
he was
Glee.
Jesse St. James.
Yeah, Jesse St. James. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
which,
so there, yeah
after Corey Monteith passed, R.I.P. He was Endgame for Rachel, which was crazy.
Yes,
which is crazy because he smashed an egg on her head in the first season.
Say, you think
Jesse
like,
St. James
as a character? Rachel, like, every night, like, as adults, like, will sometimes wake up in a cold sweat and then be like, hey, Jesse, do you remember when you cracked that egg on my head?
Is there a lot of Glee alums, like, that
yes,
have made
yes.
it? Like,
so
Darren?
So, actually, fun
three in
fact,
a row. Jonathan?
Yeah, fun fact,
Alex
Glee
Neal.
Alums have won a Tony for the past 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
So, what? Who is it? Is
so,
it?
It's Alex Newell won the Tony
who's
in 2023.
That? Who's Alex Newell?
They what were unique. Character Unique
okay.
and Glee.
Okay.
And they were part of the reality TV show that they made.
Followed, yes,
the
I remember
project,
that. It just
so,
followed
yeah.
that, the
Wait,
show,
hold
yes.
on. I
yeah.
knew there, I'm
and Jonathan Groff, right? He
Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
And then Darren Criss.
And then,
wait,
like,
Rachel hasn't won anything?
Oh, no.
Leah Michele?
Leah Michele?
She's going to Broadway in Chess. So she has a chance.
But didn't she always want to play that one character?
She did. She did. So, but fun fact, because she wasn't the first person in the role in that like Tony cycle, it was Beanie Feldstein first. Then briefly Julie Benko, who I think is the superior Beanie.
Hot take.
Julie Benko out of all three, I think Julie Benko shown.
Give her the Tony. Give Julie the Tony.
But Beanie would have been eligible and not Julie.
Not the other ones.
Leah.
I could see her.
What's the role?
So it was Fanny Bryce. It was in Funny Girl.
That was here. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, the tour came through.
Yes.
No, but I could really see Leah winning for Chess, because
she could get nominated for Florence.
And I love Chess. If you like Mamma Mia, it's also the music of ABBA.
Is Chess on Broadway now?
It's going to be with Aaron Tveit as Freddie Trumper.
Yeah.
And then Nicholas Christopher as Anatoly.
So if you're nominated for a Tony, do you have to be on? Is it just typically just...
Yeah, so it's on Broadway. There's other
awards.
So
you have to be on Broadway to get considered.
Yes. Yeah, so there are other awards that recognize off-Broadway, like I think the Drama Desk.
Really? I don't get that. So you have to be on Broadway to get a Tony? Is that just...
Yeah, because it's the Broadway Awards. I mean...
All right. So I didn't know any. This is educational for me.
Well, also, like, kind of to go to your point about, like, with Lea Michele not getting the nomination, like, I think you have to be a part of, like, the original cast or the original revival.
That's what the first lady
is a lot of rules in terms of eligibility. Like, gotcha. Another one is like whether or not a musical or a play is considered a revival or not. Because sometimes, like, for example, one of the plays, I think it was Eureka Day.
Eureka Day won a play. Yeah, best revival.
So, fun fact, they've never actually been, the show has never actually been on Broadway before.
Interesting.
But because it's considered such like a classic now, even though it's not been on Broadway, it's in the cultural zeitgeist enough that they consider, the Tony nomination team considered it a revival. Even when it's never been on Broadway. The last 5 years, who wasn't nominated for any Tonys, but was on this thing, is another example of that, where it's like, it's never had a run on Broadway until right now.
Whoa.
But it's in such the cultural zeitgeist. Like, I blame it for a lot. I blame / thank it for a lot of modern musical theater tropes the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But because it's so ingrained in the pop culture of theater, they considered it a revival rather than...
But now explain, best revival play, best revival musical, Sunset Boulevard, but then, and Nicole won too for that. What is a revival? What's considered a revival? What's a revival?
Is a show where there was a major Broadway or major, like,
production
of the show in the past. So, like, but they're redoing it with a different set, different, like, direction.
Is there a timetable for how long it has to be considered?
Not really. The only thing is, like, for example, like, Beetlejuice is remounting on Broadway for a couple weeks,
It's
considered a remount because it is the same production. Like, it is the
They're not changing
costume,
I
same
see.
Set, same direction.
That's
same
really
all
interesting.
That.
Okay.
So the only difference is truly that it needs to be different. It needs to be a different creative team.
Yeah. But Sunset Boulevard, for her, that was like a big deal that she won, right? When people say like this was like her thing. Yeah.
I mean, think about how competitive it was, like when Juliana listed out each of the nominations.
I remember if you haven't listened to that episode, go. She named. Everybody.
She got them all right.
She basically made it 100%, 1,000%.
To be honest, I had a feeling like Nicole was going to win because of the other performances. Like,
yes.
Death Becomes Her, I love the Pride-themed like performance, and I thought it was very on brand, but I really wanted to see both the leading ladies.
I felt that's the TikTok viral way. Noise. I mean, because that number is so hilarious, and that actually made... Hi, Vinny. It made Vinny go, I'm going to watch this show. I have to go see this show now. But at the same time, I'm like, both women were nominated. And at that point, you wanted to show off both your leads.
Yeah.
Because the show is about both of the both women.
Yeah.
And I feel like they kind of put like all their eggs in Megan's basket a little bit for just having that number. And I was like, Jen Samard is hot take.
Another one. She's on fire.
Jen Samard was... stole the show. I thought she was
she brought it.
I like gravitated
she's not
towards.
The one that does the viral noise,
but she, no she does just that was
yeah that noise
rude.
Yeah
that's
well that's
smart.
Why I want to see the show
because
of her
pretty? I can't
that
say
pretty
wait so both of them got nominated for actress
yep so
in the same production.
Yes.
Yep. Is that that seems to be typical.
So that's actually happened a few times. Oh. Like Wicked was another example. Yeah.
Wicked, okay.
And actually Adina won that over.
So oh. The Zine won.
Because usually there's some myth with the Tonys that like if two people are nominated from the same show that they'll split the vote, quote unquote.
Oh, wild.
But that's not true because Adina...
What? Yeah. The wickedly talented.
I remember when Hamilton was up, and I thought that Lin was going to get a nom for best actor, but instead it was just Leslie.
I think was he not nominated? I thought, because I remember there was like a bunch of the women were nominated for leading and or support, and then like to the point where it was like if one won, Hamilton would have lost, because Hamilton had a record-breaking amount of
It was a funny year.
The nominations were for in the same category, so it was like they wouldn't have won that.
Did they sweep?
They swept.
I was like, was that the year where everybody else got overshadowed?
Record.
I think I even remember.
Oh, the producers, yeah.
Yeah.
Producers has the most Tony Award wins ever.
Mel Brooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Spaceballs 2, as a tangent, just got announced.
I heard that.
Mel Brooks, yeah.
Yeah. I love Mel Brooks.
Thank you. So do I.
That was your first... that was my first Broadway musical.
Young Frankenstein was my first time. Yep.
Oh, we have the same first Broadway musical.
Here. It was Young Frankenstein here. Yep. And I loved the movie, and I remember seeing it, and I was laughing. So, oh, my. It was so good.
It's a great musical.
I want to see the producers still. The producers is done, right?
The producers, they just did at Lancaster Opera House.
Oh, I love the Lancaster Opera House.
Yeah, my friends were in that.
It's not on Broadway anymore, though, right?
No.
But there's regional productions of it all the time.
I just Broadway Reddit 3 months ago. Is it time for a revival of the producers?
I mean, funny. Like, it's really good.
And it's timely with right now.
Yeah.
The life and the universe and everything.
A lot of Mel Brooks' movies, like, make fun of, like, pretty hard times. Like,
he does, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a way to kind of...
Maybe
get your
he'll
mind
do
off.
A
yeah.
he'll do a History of the World Part 1 musical. That'd
I
be
love
great.
That movie.
Me too.
Yeah, add it to our what's the list that we have?
We've got Moonstruck the musical. We'll do History of the World Part
Grease.
2. Fun fact, Ken, that is out and produced.
Oh, it is. I saw it on ice.
Oh yeah,
like Disney on ice.
Imagine it without skates.
Like Grease 2.
I'm going to say yes to just move us forward.
Good answer.
So maybe Happy Ending. I really want to see that show. It won Best Musical.
Best Score.
Best Score. Best Book.
Best question? Director. Yes.
Best Director. Michael Arden was Quasimodo in the... Quasimodo won the Tony.
Whoa, big news. That needs a revival today.
Hunchback of Notre Dame?
The Hunchback with Fozzie and Esmeralda and the goat, that frigging goat.
The
and
goat's not in the musical. And
they don't have a goat puppet?
No.
But they had all
play the goat, I bet.
No, I can't. I'd be like the cathedral. I'd be the cathedral. It's like Pride Rock. I'd be the cathedral. I'd be Notre Dame. And Captain Phoebus and Frollo.
That's right.
Yeah, and the gang. Right. And the little statue guys, gargoyles.
But no, this was a really fun Tony Award year. I loved Cole Escola winning for O Mary.
Yep, best actor in a leading role. Cole Escola.
I will say I was shocked. O Mary, I was shocked, but I shouldn't have been surprised because Purpose won the Pulitzer.
Yeah,
and it is a very important play and apparently very good. I've just not seen it, but I was shocked that O Mary didn't win best play because it was kind of one of those like cultural zeitgeisty kind of shows that people kept talking about months and months after, and that's not very common for a play.
It definitely made waves. It definitely made a lot of waves. I think we're gonna see like a lot of shows inspired by O Mary and its style of humor. But having seen a Brandon Jacob Jenkins who wrote Purpose, I've seen a production of his show before called An Octoroon, which is a adaptation. That was phenomenal. So I think he's one of the best playwrights of our time. So it makes sense that they gave Cole a run for their money with O Mary and Purpose going square off. Definitely. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of great plays up, including John Proctor was the villain, not John Proctor Must Die, which I'd also like to see. But no, I thought it was a great year. I'd still love to see Sarah Snook in the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah, she won that.
Best actress. Like
one woman show.
And is that what that is?
Like she's playing every single character and it's like using like cameras and like costume changes.
A lot of mixed media.
Wow, fun fact, Juliana has a one-woman show of Les Mis in the Spotlight Lounge.
She'll be
Tuesday
playing
to Sunday.
All the parts.
And yes, my name is Cher, and I'll be playing all the parts. I can't do her voice. I'm sorry if you came for impressions.
This was not... I thought that was pretty good. Wow, thank you,
wow,
Ken.
Sorry.
Fabulous.
Guys, did you know that that was Ken and not Cher?
Wow.
Like, guys, Cher isn't in the room with us right now.
Thank you for clarifying. My eyes were shut and I was really hopeful.
Oh, wow. That was incredible.
I'd also like to take this moment to say Sarah Snook is not in Severance. She's in Succession.
Oh, yes. We went through that last time. Yes. Just as a correction.
My bad.
Yeah. No, but the Tonys, the only thing I saw from the Tonys live was the Hamilton performance with all the cast members, which I was very impressed by. Why is there no Disney things for the Tonys this year? Because, Hercules and West End.
Because you didn't produce anything, Ken.
Well, because Disney's not on, well, besides Aladdin, but like Aladdin is not part of this Broadway season.
See?
So that's, something that people don't know and get confused.
I have no idea. I don't know.
So, for example, a lot of people have questioned, like, why wasn't Wicked nominated for anything? Mm. Wicked was nominated back in 2000, I think, whenever it came out.
Yes, Adele Dazeem, yes.
2004.
Yeah.
It's considered as that part of that season. So, like, shows that came out, like, last year are not nominated.
If it's still running, it's not going to get nominated.
Yeah, it's considered as being part of whatever season it came in, came out of. So, like, Wicked is still running, Aladdin is still running and going strong, but they're not eligible for Tonys because they've already had their flowers. They had their chance.
Didn't know that.
Kind of thing.
That's great.
But while we're here, Hercules, come to America. Come
they
to Broadway.
Dropped that merch. Is merch
there's
good.
So much merch in
it.
It
looks
so good,
and I want all of it. I don't know how to get a shopper in the UK to make it.
I know. I have my Disney shoppers that shop for me at the parks, but I can't.
A little Hercules quote. I'm an action figure.
I want the sandals he wears too. Yes, Pain and Panic in the cup.
Like, and they're like slurping it.
Are you sporting his merchandise? Hades flips
and you're
out.
Wearing
his merchandise.
I had that script mouse.
Gosh, what a great... That'll be the next Tony season, but it has to be a part of the season to get nominated.
Yeah,
well, so a learning point.
I will say, it's on the West End, it has a track. Like, there's a good chance it'll come.
Yeah,
I don't know what year, but because it's on the West End, there's precedent for you having a West End run in London and then coming to Broadway as, like, a tryout.
I remember watching the public do Hercules. They had... their Hercules, the hero song, I Will Find My Way, their leading actor perform it. That always gets me real misty. So I was ready to drive up to New York City in that moment. I was like, where are my keys? Let's go.
Originally planned to premiere in London's West End in 2015. Wow.
Are you looking at Hercules?
No, Back to the Future. Because we're talking about West End and like the track to like...
Yeah. Back to the Future, I think it actually was in London and it did well in London. And then it came to the U.S. Had a little...
I got a great ticket to it because people weren't going to it, and I got a good ticket for it.
It had a little bit more of a mixed reception. However, word of mouth is really great.
Yes.
So I think people who come to see the tour will really enjoy it. I think it's just more critics.
And it'll be here.
It will. Soon.
Soon. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
June 24th to the 29th.
There she is.
And it's selling really well. And the car is going to be out in the community. DeLorean. We saw that. It'll be at different spots.
We'll have to fix the flux capacitor.
It looks super cool. And apparently the effects are incredible. So you got to come see that.
I can confirm. The effects are incredible. The show is a blast. If you're a fan of the movie, you're going to love it. If you haven't seen the movie... Maybe wait until after you see the musical so you can have some surprises. I'm also going to throw out, if you're someone who liked Rick and Morty over the last few years, if you're someone who likes that kind of like hero sidekick energy, you're also going to be a fan. I think that they add a lot of humor to the show that's kind of like quirky and a little out of pocket, and it kind of blends the Spielberg world with the musical theater world seamlessly. So there's my pitch.
Do they play Huey Lewis? Like, is it Power Love? All right,
good. Yeah. Huey Lewis go get. Song
there's not many tickets left, probably, for Back to the Future. But if there are any, go buy them.
Shoot your shot.
I would say there's like a couple single seats here and there, so we're not selling Back to the Future. But
no, but
I would say if you want a chance to see it,
Try.
Don't miss out. Don't miss out.
And if you don't get a chance to see it here, definitely check out the Torv's website, because you never know. They might find you might find a way to it in a different way.
Yeah. There we go. There's tons of cities like nearby, and I'm off the top of my head. I think, I don't know if Rochester already got it or will be getting it, but like, like Rochester or like,
anywhere.
Look it up.
Look it up.
Anywhere.
Yeah, look it up. I can't name cities right now.
Come to Shays first, and if you can't, I guess you can go to Rochester.
Well, if they didn't already have it.
Yeah. But speaking of Back to the Future, I have a little segment for today.
Oh.
And it's called Broadway, but make it time travel.
Ooh.
All right. So, Back to the Future, the musical, gave us time-traveling DeLoreans, singing scientists, and skateboarding guitar solos. In this segment, we're going to rewrite some of our favorite musicals with the help of Marty McFly, Doc Brown, and a little bit of time travel. What moment in another musical would you go back and change? Which musical would be wildly different if the DeLorean showed up? We're going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my little pitch.
I can't wait.
Okay, let's do this. I'm very excited.
All right, prompt number one, my friends. If you could go back in time and give any Broadway character a piece of advice, who would it be, and what would you say?
I still stick to what I was...
Oh, what we talked about?
We talked about this.
We did a test run, and Ken had a... I thought you had a good answer.
Thank you. I thought about this now the night before. If you could go back in time, it would be the little orphan children or the children in Les Mis.
You help them out.
Not to go to the line.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all die.
The barricade.
The barricade. Yes, that's twice now. The barricade, because the first time I saw it, all I heard was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, Juliana, what? Who's dying?
The children.
The children. And I would get their asses in the car and say, no barricade for you.
Yeah.
You're going
empty
to school.
Those chairs, empty
you're
those
going
tables.
To school. Boom. Poor kids. They're going back in time, not to the barricade.
They were saving the children.
We gotta save those kids. But there's a lot of them. Like, boom, boom. I'm like, what is going on? And they're just sad. So, no, the Les Mis children.
I like the visual of Cosette, like riding shoddy with Doc Brown.
Let's go, kids.
Oh my She's God. Like, what is this?
So, yes, that was mine.
This is a castle in the cloud?
Is this a castle in the cloud?
Are we there? Where's the lady all in white?
Jeez.
Imagine my shock and surprise when Ken says that, because mine was also a Les Mis themed, but I was going to take it even further back in time, like before Les Mis even starts. I'd find Jean Valjean on the streets of Paris, where he's poor, he's about to steal a loaf of bread, and I would say, no, Jean Valjean, do not steal that loaf of bread.
Jean, put it back.
Put it back down, Jean. Here, here, let me give you a cinnamon roll. And a Celsius. And then I give him a little kiss on the forehead.
Ooh, what a little
and
kiss.
I say, don't do crime, Jean Valjean. Don't become a bad man.
So if she say indirectly, now if she saves Jim Jim Jim, she's going to
say that again. Save yeah, say that again.
She's going to save the children, right? If she saves this guy, this guy with the cinnamon roll, I don't have to go and save the kiddos.
No, I unfortunately have to tell you this. So Jean Valjean is not real. However, the June 6th rebellion was real.
So the kids
all those college kids were in fact mowed down.
So we still got to save the kids regardless.
They were very real and are very dead.
So Jean Jim Jim ain't going nowhere. Jean John.
Nice try, Ashton Kutcher. You can't butterfly effect your way out of this
so,
one.
So unfortunately, Ken, you do still have to save the Barricade Boys.
Right, well.
You do have to go save them.
Maybe I won't know.
But Jean Valjean now has a Cherry Coke Celsius and
so he's got the energy to find a job.
He has to find a job and he'll become a better man. So consider me like...
He's helping produce this show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We brought him to the future. He's helping us produce.
We gave him our sourdough starter kit and we brought him to the future our podcast.
So for anyone who knows, Lema is like the priest or whatever, the bishop gives him like the candles of silver that he steals later on. Consider me the priest, but instead of silver, he gets a cinnamon roll and a Celsius.
Equal trade.
Go
fair trade.
Go with Celsius, my
go
child.
With God.
God, okay. Your soul.
I thought of one the other night, too, which was in Matilda.
Oh.
I would help out the escapologist and the acrobat.
Yes.
And I would extinguish the dynamite in her hair. without her getting too slippy on the foam, so that way she wouldn't fall to her death.
Jeez.
And then Miss Honey would have her parents.
Yeah. Matilda, is that the one where the kid eats all the food?
Yes,
that's
a pie. The chocolate cake.
The chocolate cake.
In the musical, then he sings Revolting Children, which is a phenomenal.
The pie kid or the cake kid?
Bruce. Yeah, he goes, We are revolting children.
Did he survive
or is he dead?
I'm immediately like impressed. Like, if you came up to me like as an adult and was like, hey, I was Bruce in my like middle school choir's production of, I'd be like, you are like you're a celebrity, unfortunately.
Dude, I had the privilege of casting Matilda once, and we had an A team and a B team, and all of our kids were phenomenal, but we had a Bruce that knew how to riff and wail, and both of them were phenomenal, but this one, Bruce, I thought he was maybe going to go on The Voice the next year.
Oh my
gosh. He was just so good.
Did you cast these people?
I got to cast.
That's right.
You're
casting. Yeah.
The part is written where the Bruce has to be good. Like, there's no way.
There's no way around this one.
There's no way around it. Like, he has to be. Like, he has to kind of eat that up. And he does.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no. He eats that cake and he eats that song. Like,
I do love it. Oh, okay, good. So we saved the children in that round. Nice work, everyone.
Wow.
And Bruce from the cake.
And Jean Valjean.
And the escapologist. All right, prompt two. Marty McFly accidentally steps into another Broadway show. What's the musical and what chaos does he cause?
I'll go. So, you know how this last round we saved the children?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say F the children. He's going to Annie and he's taking that dog.
He's stealing Sandy.
He's taking that dog right out of the depression. I'm so sorry. A beautiful little golden retriever or golden doodle or whatever kind of dog Sandy is, whatever production, does not deserve to live during the Great Depression.
Oh my God.
Sandy deserves the magical 1980s.
Sandy deserves 21st century air conditioning. I know Daddy Warbucks is a millionaire or a billionaire or a bazillionaire or whatever.
Right, right.
I don't care. I think
he don't got central
Sandy
air.
Deserves a backyard. Okay?
I hope Annie never comes here again because she's going to take the dog. Juliana's going to run on stage during the performance and just snap the golden retriever. And for those of you listening and you've been along with the Annie saga with Juliana, remember that is Juliana's favorite Broadway show.
No, so, Annie is actually very good.
I used to watch the Annie VHS with Kathy Bates.
Oh, no, you have the 1999, I think.
Yes, well done.
I had Carol Burnett, which is also
Carol.
Fabulous. I mean, that movie is not a great adaptation of the musical at all.
No, but it's wild. It's a ride.
They have them on a bridge at one point with a helicopter chase. And I'm like, and I remember seeing like the actual Annie, and I'm like, where's Tim Curry? Also, why are they not having a fantastical helicopter chase? Why are they just singing with FDR?
It's kind of wild that the Carol Burnett version is most similar to like the most modern version with Jamie Foxx and Rose Byrne, because she does get chased down and there is a helicopter in that one too.
Yeah, Tim Curry almost throws a child off a bridge. I think about that.
I love Tim Curry. Tim Curry's great.
Me too. I think I would put Marty McFly in the high school at Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
See if he could like catch Connor early.
Save him.
Take
from
him
the
out.
Oh my God.
Like to like a nice like movie, take him out to like away from the school and be like, "Hey, look, there's life outside of this place, man. It gets better." I feel like Marty would be the perfect person to spin that around.
I agree, because like real talk, like I know Dear Evan Hansen, like Connor is in the show, but like at the end of the day, he's unfortunately the character. Spoiler alert: the character has passed.
He's
like,
gone.
You just spoiled the shit out of this thing for me.
Well, it's at the beginning of the musical, and then it kind of unravels, and you kind of find you watch as Evan kind of navigates both like his role in Connor's life and his role in the family's life, but
the Connor you see on stage, and he's there for a lot, but the Connor you see on stage is imagined. Like
it's a ghost.
It's Ooh. It's in Evan's mind. Like so it's who Evan perceives.
That was here.
It was. Before. It was.
I remember seeing stuff right at Chase. Yeah.
Yeah. I took my little cousins.
That's like. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's actually, like, weirdly, like, I know we were being funny and silly, but, like, that's actually, like, yeah. Like,
it's a very deep, right? This is a deep show. Like, this made me very somber all of a sudden.
I didn't mean to, because
I don't even think I want to share my answer now, because this is too... No, I don't want to share.
I just got hopeful for Connor for a second. Yeah. I thought Marty could do it.
I think Marty
take off his red puffer jacket. Here, put this on, man. You look cool. Like, that kind of vibe.
Oh, jeez.
You can't tell, but I'm, like, pursing my lips like the puffer.
Just because I couldn't think of anything else, my last answer is Marty would...
You can't bring up Les Mis again.
No, no. Marty would go to the Hunchback and save him from being put in the well.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't get put in the well, so my whole thing gets grabbed and hit me after.
You could,
when
Frodo
goes, like, drop his, like, you know, the priest says stop it and all that shit.
Oh, in the Disney movie.
Yeah, the movie, but I'm assuming the musical is, like, similar.
A little different.
Well, regardless, Quasimodo's good.
Yeah.
He can get out of the tower earlier, that maybe.
He can, Marty can, like, shoot over his skateboard to him.
Right.
Quasi, here you go.
He can be swinging, instead of swinging around, he can be flying around.
Yo, ollie off those buttresses.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine Quasimodo ollieing on a hoverboard?
I think it would save him.
Wow. He doesn't need Esmeralda. He's got the hoverboard.
He's got Marty and the hoverboard.
Marty and the hoverboard. That was my answer. Yes, I remember this. Prompt three.
Prompt three.
Yes.
Grab your time machine and give a Broadway show either a prequel or a sequel.
We should just toss this to Juliana and just let her go.
Yeah. Okay. Juliana, go for
so
it.
So this is a touchy subject.
This is all
so
Juliana.
Is out.
Everyone knows, and I'm going to try to stay as calm as possible.
And fidgeting with the ring is happening.
With enough decorum to say that I, no offense to everyone who likes them, but musical sequels to me are the worst thing imaginable. I cannot stand them because I believe fundamentally that musicals that you see on the stage are a contained story.
Yes.
You have them in two acts. It is done.
Oh.
We move on. Yes. We don't need to cheapen the themes of the first musical by...
Or try to strike lightning twice.
Or try to strike lightning twice.
That's a good one.
I see you at Love Never Dies. I see you at Annie 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Or...
Annie Warbucks.
Annie whatever.
Like I said in the first one.
I see you, Bye Bye Birdie, Bring Back Birdie.
Grease 2.
Grease 2.
Or...
Jinx.
Chicago 2. Boston.
Just have each sequel be a different city.
Syracuse?
You it's like know? American Horror Story.
You don't know. I'm looking at the Chicago poster the other day. You don't know. You just don't know where you're going to end up. You but don't know.
So,
oh my God.
So I will participate in, the
in this
discussion. However, I'm fundamentally against it.
I gave mine. I'm going Boston.
Boston, the Chicago sequel.
The Chicago sequel, Boston.
I like that.
Teen Edition.
Oh.
Or whatever. The kiddos always do Chicago, like high school edition. We've talked, yeah.
We've talked about this off the mic, but that's also crazy to me.
I swear
Chicago
to you,
Boston,
I
Teen
swear
Edition.
To you, I've seen Teen Edition. It's fabulous.
You've said, sure no. You've said this.
You've said this. You know
what? The kids
now. I've been lovely Teen Edition. I just, for some reason, like, Chicago is so in my mind of the revival where it's like they're all in the black, like, scantily clad. Like, so I have to take my brain out of that and think of it as like the actual musical Chicago, what is written on the page and what is sung on the page. What is written on the page and what is sung on the page is perfectly fine. It's perfectly appropriate for high schoolers. But I'm seeing the Chicago poster and I'm going, how? Why?
I'm looking at the poster. I say the same thing. It's right there. Why Chicago?
Boston.
Ooh, Chicago.
Ooh, Chicago. Why Chicago? Why? All right.
Questions.
Okay. I'm sorry about
philosophical,
this.
Philosophical, guys.
But a prequel or a sequel? I can't.
I'm sitting here and I was like thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, I guess Wizard of Oz, a prequel is Wicked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
You like the Scape one?
You know what? I bet Hadestown as a prequel with like Hades and Persephone's origin story.
Yes. Oh,
fire.
Why?
I got excited.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
Hadestown, may I raise you?
Yeah.
So Natasha Pierre in the Great Covenant of 1812.
Oh yeah.
Is just 70 is just 70 pages of War and Peace. Hear me out.
All
a
right.
Trilogy. We get a prequel and a sequel. We do the first 8,000 pages of War and Peace before the 70 pages.
Which is just, like, perfect. The Russian which countryside.
Is yeah. We'll figure it out. Dave Malloy's got this.
Yeah.
Then we do the 80 billion pages after the 70 of 1812, and we get the rest of War and Peace. So you get War and Peace, a trilogy by Dave Malloy.
We get everything that Juliana loved, out, prequels Dave. And sequels.
All in one.
All in one favorite thing.
Well, let's just rehash it. Let's just...
Wow.
War and Peace for what it's worth.
The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, if you're gonna invest in a prequel and sequel, why not do both? And yeah. Do Juliana's way. That's what I would do.
Make a triptych, and then like people have to come back each night, like it's in rep.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm telling you, nice. Dave Malloy. I know you're listening.
Dave Malloy.
What if he was? He was like, yeah.
He's like, this is great.
He's writing it as we speak.
He's like, attaboy, Dave.
My idea.
Yeah, these podcasters, they always come out with my ideas before I can get to them.
Everybody has a podcast.
Oh, God.
Ken, do you have a prequel?
Yeah, my Aladdin Jafar. No, not Chicago. My Aladdin Jafar prequel.
Oh, that's
about
right.
About Jafar's backstory and how he schemes a sultan, schemes his way up.
Yes, Jafar. Yeah, origin Jafar's stories.
He's a schemer.
I like
with
that.
His little stick. How do you get the stick?
How do you get the staff? We'll find out.
How do you get the snake staff? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Very good. All right. Prompt 4. What two Broadway shows would you mash together if time and space meant nothing? This is a very Glee question, because I'm always thinking mashups
from
Glee.
We always had
Glee.
Those mashups. Yeah, they always did that.
Like, the other day in my head, I was like, remember when Glee did a mashup of Turkey Lurkey Time?
Let's eat our kiki.
Like, that happened on TV.
Was that Darren Criss?
No.
It was
Jared Goff?
It was Chris Colfer, Leah Michele, and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh my, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh my God.
Fabulous. Well,
that one kind of slaps. So like,
I was like, why does this work? I was like, damn it, Glee.
I still can't believe that's the same guy who does American Horror Story.
Yeah. And he did Nip Tuck.
That just is crazy to me.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
And Scream Queens.
What do you think? Good this show is too, yes. A tangent.
Good
but
show.
On Glee. If Glee were still, like, going on now, what do you think they would have covered? Like, what songs? What songs, like, of the modern day?
Oh, God.
There would have
so
been
many.
An entire Chapel Rowan episode.
Oh,
there would have been a whole Taylor Swift episode. Well, there would have been Sabrina.
Hamilton. I think they just missed Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there would have been a Hamilton episode.
100%. 100%. I'll never forget the Wicked Off between Chris and... Anyway, this is becoming a Glee podcast.
Yeah. We should do a separate one on that. Yeah, we should.
Or mashups.
Mash them.
Oh.
Mash them.
So there's a meme on the internet where it's like a Venn diagram, and it's like... All of right. Sweeney Todd and Waitress.
Yes, we did say that.
Yes! And for like, I can't think of anything else for this prompt, so I'm going to cheat and I'm going to use that. I want...
That's a good one,
like,
though.
Miss Lovett and Jenna in a room, and I want Jenna to be like, I just made this blueberry mermaid pie. It's what my mama taught me. And Mrs. Lovett's like, oh, it might have paper in it. Like,
you're really missing out on... seeing Juliana's acting skills. You can only hear
right
it.
Here first.
But this is just a treat.
I mean, I want this crossover. I'm sold on it. How do we make it happen?
It's just two women baking pies.
It's a two woman show.
One is for the soul and one has souls in the back.
I want this to just be a spin-off musical, two women baking pies, and it's just Jenna and Mrs. Lovett's like trying to come together. Okay, well, this was a lot of fun.
This was great, guys.
Quick campus shout-outs. Yes. Back to the Future is now performing at Shea's Buffalo from June 24th to the 29th. Tickets are on sale now for Dreamgirls playing at Shea's 710. Check out the entire Shea's 710 and musical fair season because it's amazing on our website at shays.org. And thank you both so much. And we'll see you guys next week. Until then, Ken, why don't you play us out?
Yes, of course. Do, 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 do,
do. Break away. Did you see the cast? Let's get posted.
I'm not seeing the set.
See you at the party.
Podcast Party is presented by Shays Performing Arts Center.
Produced by Cassandra Lippert, Ken Lazuski, myself, Juliana Tracy, and Rita Siriani.
Theme song by John Michael Ogletree.
Audio mixing by Dave Lenhart.
Logo and graphics designed by Acacia Crozier.
Marketing and social media by Bridget Neeson.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Shays Performing Arts Center Presents Cast Party, wherever exceptional podcasts are downloaded.
Or visit us at shays.org.
Bye-bye.